right, it's time now for Oh the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship, research, and events on and around campus. Joined on the phone by Max Orr, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities at UNC. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Max, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Aaron. You know, you know me well, and I'm usually not at a loss for words, but after the events of this weekend, I am just about there and trying to figure out how to pivot Carolina Public Humanities and how the humanities can address just the real catastrophic conditions in the world since George Floyd's murder, which was just, I don't know if you saw this, just ruled a homicide, mm-hmm. and of course, the incredible disturbances in just about every major city in the country. So that's where we are. I had originally come on, Aaron, to talk about our biography series, and I thought I would talk to you about the challenges of trying to pivot the humanities to deal with these things. You know, just, 2 weeks ago we were talking about Ahmaud Arbery, and here we are again. So that's where we are, and I guess I'm going to ask you for as much help, and how do we use the humanities to get at this? I'll tell you some of the plans Carolina Public Humanities has to address what's going on. But to just in generally address this philosophical question, it's a really tough one.
It's a philosophical question. It's a political question. It's a legal question, and it's a historical question too. Because this is, like you said, we just got done 2 weeks ago talking about Ahmaud Arbery. Now we're talking about George Floyd, and part of the reason that this has taken on such a central defining nature in American political discourse is that this is not something that's happened in a vacuum. This isn't the first time. It's not the first time in the last month that this has happened. And we can look back and back and back through American history and see the numerous, countless times that this exact same thing has happened over and over and over again. And that informs what's going on right now.
You know, it's as you said, it just makes me think that sometimes it sounds strange to say, but we have a hard time discerning patterns in echoes. I feel like it keeps coming up so much and so often that we should be able to begin to adopt a broad consensus, some understanding of the social and cultural and political underpinnings of this constant racism that we're confronted with. And yet I sort of feel like we come up with the same conversation time and time again, and you wonder how to move it forward. It certainly feels like the zeitgeist is, when you see action on the streets like you have in such a widespread situation like we've seen this past weekend, that perhaps it is crossing from ideas into action, and that's not always a comfortable place to be, actually.
Yeah, speaking with Max Orr, and you always come with a gift, historical dates and birthdays and events that have happened in the past that are on this date in history that inform what we're talking about right now. And I don't know if this is something that pinged your radar today, but I can bring you a gift because I was reading
earlier
today. That today is the, and this is such a sad thing to describe as a gift, but today is the 99th anniversary of the Tulsa massacre, which was worst racial massacres in American history, where you've got mobs of white people in Tulsa who go into a neighborhood called Greenwood, which was one of the most economically advanced, developed black community in the country, and just over the course of 2 days completely leveled it and killed a couple hundred people. And within a decade, the Klan was dominant in Tulsa, and all of that happened in the space of 48 hours.
Well, I mean, that's a grim anniversary, and you know, it certainly makes you think about where property destruction fits in terms of power and the dynamic, because you hear all sorts of voices bemoaning the destruction of property. There's been all sorts of, you know, maybe some people are conspiratorially pointing at agents provocateurs or Perhaps, you know, we have our president talking about Antifa, but the point of what I'm trying to make is that, you know, the destruction of property, the symbolic destruction of property cuts both ways. And in Tulsa, here you have the absolute destruction of human bodies and destruction of property in the service of white supremacy, which has been far more of the norm than flare-ups that you see of people protesting and frustrated at the conditions that just never seem to change.
Yeah, speaking again with Max Orr, humanities.unc.edu is the website for more information. So you and I have felt the same, I think, frustration in the last 48 hours, especially over the weekend, seeing what's happened, knowing that we need to respond, but also feeling that words are inadequate, right? That everything, that there is a lot that needs to be said, but everything that needs to be said has been said. It's been said, it's been out there, it's been repeated, and the people who need to hear it have heard it and have heard it repeatedly, and yet here we still are. So now we've got to move from words to action. So what can the humanities do to inform action? What can the humanities do to inform praxis?
I mean, this is exactly the conundrum we have. You know, we like, and I say it because I believe it deeply philosophically, that the humanities, studying history, literature, philosophy, religion, etc., studying the world of ideas, informs us, gives us a deeper, better tools to respond to these types of crises. But at the same time, it's hard to, that granularity, right? How to actually make a difference in the now when there are people critical and people in pain and hurting is a very tough thing. We have to believe that the slow inculcation of ideas will create a better society, but boy, it is not very comforting. You know, Aaron, this morning we had our first of our biography series, and I started, that was about Pierre de Bourdieu, a man who lived through the religious wars of France. Very awful time, you know, a horrible time of discrimination and violence. And, you know, I wanted to pivot and say, you know, how does this person cope living through that time? Maybe it gives us something that can help us. But again, it's tough to sell that, if you will, because we do need to have more conversations like we did last, or 2 weeks ago, that are direct and open and current, and they are humanistic activity, but it doesn't feel like quite like the humanities trying to tie together things that are remote to the personal experience. So that's really the challenge for us. You know, we have a happy hour coming up on cities this Thursday. It was going to be about how do cities cope in times of COVID. Obviously, Aaron, I think cities are coping with a lot more than just COVID right now. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to respond to that. And I'm not sure that, you know, a deep dive into history is going to immediately provide that sucker. I'm never going to give up that it does something, you know, but it's just, that's, I think, one of the frustrations we have in the humanities is that it's a soft medicine, if you will, and when we really need surgery.
Yeah. I was thinking about, you mentioned cities and how they cope with COVID, and thinking about how so much of what we're contending with right now, they were contending with it 100 years ago, and very much all at the same time, almost.
Yeah.
The Tulsa riots, the Tulsa massacre is in 1921. The flu pandemic is 1918, 1919.
Yeah.
We know history. We know American history well enough to know that that's also the absolute rock bottom period of race relations in the United States, certainly post-Civil War, post-Reconstruction. This is rise of the Klan, Woodrow Wilson's screening Birth of a Nation in the White House and talking about
the Great Migration.
Migration, right? And it's also one of the most violently anti-immigrant periods in American history. There's a law that's passed, the most restrictive anti-immigration law that's ever passed in American history, is passed in 1924. Yeah. And all of this happens pretty much all at the same time. So it's not that we haven't been through this before, but what does it mean to look back on the way it was 100 years ago? How does that inform how we're living today and how we need to live today?
And I do think those are the types of conversations. So, you know, what we'll be doing at Carolina Public Humanities is, of course, trying to draw the, you know, connect the dots between what feels more remote to our experience to how it does help us think about that. So we can't give up on the deep past and what is different and what might seem esoteric or aesthetic. We need to focus on those things. But Carolina Public Humanities also has to then be addressing, like, come back to Ahmaud Arbery, and we're going to do that again. I have a meeting with the General Alumni Association, and I can't announce it now, but I can promise you within a week or two we'll have another giant Think Fast forum probably on this topic again. So the happy hours, you know, take the word happy out of them and start, you know, pivot those to deal with more contemporary critical issues. That's what we'll be doing. And for us, I guess I'm going to just, you're getting me on a down day where I realize the limits of what the humanities can do, but I will continue to be fighting this fight, and Lloyd and Joanna and all of us at Carolina Public Humanities, to make sure that we can continue to find the value in what feels like it's not really addressing us right now, that people who can make those connections can help our society by doing that. It's a tough one, but that's where we are. What else can we do?
Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Max, we got to wrap up, but as we do, more about the city's event as it currently stands, what do people need to know?
Well, we have two speakers lined up. I'm going to hold off on the names because we're getting other people lined up. We're actually pivoting right now, Aaron, to see if we can, you know, change the topic up a little bit. The title was Cities in the Time of COVID, Cities in Crisis in the Time of COVID. I don't know what the title will be, but it will be definitely this Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m., and go to humanities.unc.edu to get the link for the webinar, or you can follow these live on Facebook as well now. So, yeah, we'll be doing that, and look for other events. And, of course, our bio series is up and running, the biography series, and it is quite great. And if you would like to draw the connection and draw the dots with us, we'll be doing our best to make sure you see how relevant the humanities are.
Humanities.unc.edu for more information on all of those upcoming events and more. Max Orr, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron. Always a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk soon.